And of course, we've got open lines for you tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Here I am in Albuquerque. Thank you, Ross, by the way. Time for our shout out, too. But thank you for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to our 545 radio stations across North America, unbelievable. XM, channel 168. And of course, you great Coast Insiders, thank you for joining up and doing everything that you do. And then the various chat rooms all around this planet. How about the Fantastic Forum 2? Fantastic Forum 2 with the number. Superb folks into infinity. That just keeps growing and growing and growing. And, geez, imaginative worlds. Oh, so many great chat rooms and things. And just good people. The SoCal meetup groups and all you people who follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And keep joining, by the way. That is growing, too. Lex is very happy with what's happening there. By the way, you can also get the free Coast Zone newsletter by going to coasttocoastam.com. Lex and his staff will send you a newsletter via your electronic computer. It'll be there in the morning when you wake up. So make sure you sign up for that as well. And of course, thanks to Greg, our cook in St. Louis, feeding the multitudes with just one fish. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And I hope you have a great weekend. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Chris in Columbus, Ohio. Chris, welcome to the show.
Yes, I want to mention a thing about the airports and carrying money.
Yeah. Yeah, please.
Okay, whenever you go to a self-checkout at your local supermarket, you put your money in the machine. It recognizes that a $10 bill, $20 bill, $5, what have you. Well, when you're going out of the country, that technology is there at the airport. And it tells them how much money you've got. If it's got over a certain amount, it sets off an alarm.
If you're going outside the country.
Right.
Or,
that's
okay.
The scanner.
So if you, let's say you had $50,000 in your suitcase. Who would catch that? How would they catch that? What machine there finds it?
As soon as it goes through the scanner, it's going to know. It's going to.
You mean where the guy's looking through his little TV set? While your suitcase is going through the...
There's another device they don't tell you about. It's not very well known at the airport, but it's there, and it sets off the magnetic signature, the same technology that's used at your checkout to recognize a $20.
All right, so if they find you with $50,000, and let's say you got it from your own bank account, what do they do to you?
Well, they're going to stop you first.
They will do that.
Say, you've got something that we want to know about. Then you got the IRS and a whole bunch of other. Because it's just like going to the bank. If you deposit $10,000, they're going to really jump on you about that. You know, where's this money? Where'd it come from? You know, it's regulations.
I mean, do they take it? Do they confiscate it from you?
They would hold it until you prove what you're going for and what and where.
You're kidding me.
Yes, they're also going to know what bank you got it from. It's basically the drug dealers who they're really trying to stop.
Right. So what they will do, though, is even if you don't go outside the country, they'll probably stop you then. I assume that's what you're saying?
Yeah. It's basically the scanners are for the people basically going out of the country. That's what you're really looking
for. All right. But if I let's say I'm going to Detroit. I want to give my folks 20 grand, you know, as a present. So I put it, and I should write a check. That's the smart thing to do. But I put $50,000 in my suitcase, $20,000 in my suitcase.
They're
Are you saying that they will see that and they will stop me? And if I don't have a deposit slip and or a withdrawal and all that, they're going to hold that money until they can verify that?
Yep.
Unbelievable.
I went through a scanner and I just had a handkerchief in my pocket. And the guy says, well, take out all your change and everything at the airport. So, okay, fine. Well, I left the handkerchief in my pocket. And I went through the scanner, and he says, you've got something in your pocket. I says, yeah, a handkerchief. There you are. But also I want to bring up another subject, which was the Gulf oil fishermen. That's why I listen to Coast to Coast, is because of stories that are there that swept under the cover by CNN. They were doing stories on the fishermen getting paid by BP, and a lot of them weren't getting paid.
That's
then all
right.
of a sudden, that story went away. And I know there's those people down there that BP hasn't lived up to its responsibilities.
No, they've been very, very slow. They started, of course, when the publicity was there and everybody was watching them. And now that it seems to have died away as a story, they may have died away as a funding source for these people.
Yeah. On the vitamins, as soon as you create a shortage, you can also start a black market. I mean, I've got a bunch of melatonin. If they start doing prescriptions, I'll probably sell it on the street. I don't want to have to.
You'll make a fortune.
You'll start a new black market. But the Chinese are going to be really upset because they are a main supplier to a lot of our, especially ginseng. When I go get my Arizona iced tea, it's got ginseng in it.
They're huge suppliers of supplements.
Yeah, I'll have to get a prescription to get a can of Arizona iced tea, you know.
Exactly. Hey, Charles, thanks a lot, Chris. I appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to Stephen in Sacramento, California. You're up with us. Stephen, good morning.
Hey, good morning, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Thanks for having me. I've been listening to your show for a few months now, and I really enjoy it. I listen to it every day.
How did you find us? Curious.
Well, actually, I worked the overnight shift, so I was just going through the channels, the radio channels, and I heard your show, and I just started listening to it.
Super. Still working nights, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a question. Me, my fiance, my son, like we feel like a presence, like watching us. And then my son, he'll be in the living room and he'll just run down the hallway screaming like in tears. And then he'll be pointing like at the air and he'll be like, "No, my house." And he's like talking to someone. And like I would tell him, "Who is it? Who is it?" And he'll be like, a man," and he'll be yelling at it like, "My house." And like we feel like we're being watched. And I had like weird dreams. Like one dream, I was sleeping, and I got pulled off the bed, and like was just being choked. And
are you sure it was a dream? I bet it might have happened.
Well, that's the thing. I wasn't really sure, and you know, because when I woke up, I couldn't breathe. And then in another dream, like I was sitting down in my closet and I just feel like a presence right behind me and it's telling me to hurt somebody. I don't remember the dream clearly, but and like the thing really with my son, it really scares me. And I was wondering if there's anything I could do to find out for sure.
There sure is. Have you been to our website yet, Stephen?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's Coast2TO, coasttocoastam.com. Make it one of your favorites, by the way. It'll be easier for you. And in the search engine, you'll see that up at the top on the right. Type in Mary Ann Winkowski, Winkowski.
Okay.
Her information will come up. Get her website. Send her an email. Tell her you listen to Coast. She'll be very happy to help you and give you some pointers on what she thinks you need to do to get rid of this thing.
Yeah, because they say, like, the little kids, they have heightened senses, right? Cause
absolutely. Yep.
He barely talks, but he's pointing at...
Animals, too. Do you have any pets? Do you have any pets around the house?
Okay,
no. If you had a pet, a cat or a dog, they're very sensitive, too.
Yeah, I was actually about to buy a dog.
Okay, all right. Definitely do that. Mary Ann Winkowski, indeed. I've got some friends. They have a little dog named Freddie. And they treat him as if he's a little person. I mean, this dog is unbelievable. They got him out of one of those pounds. They saved his life. And he was perhaps, I don't like to use the word ugly. You know, we've done shows on, you know, the world's ugliest dog. I've had pictures like that. And I always qualify it. And I tell Lex, I said, "Lex, they're not ugly." Or Sean, "They're not ugly. They're just different." So I'm not going to say ugly, but this was a very different dog when they got him. He was little and mangy. He had no hair. He was sickly. He was kind of pathetic, to tell you the truth, little Freddie. But they saved him. They took him to the vet. They cleaned him up. But not, you know, now they've gone the other way with Freddie. He wears a little hat. And he wears booties and things. And, I mean, they act as if he's like a little kid. And he travels with them. He sleeps with them. People become very close with their pets. I mean, they've even gone as far as to buy a baby high chair for this thing. And they put Freddie in this little high chair. and he's sitting there with his little hat on and stuff, and the lady, God love her, tries to put a little spoon in his paw when she feeds him. And have you ever seen a dog? I'm not kidding. Have you ever seen a dog try to eat with a spoon in its paw? And sometimes what she'll do, because she really thinks it's a kid, I think there's something wrong here, she will tape the spoon to this little Freddy's paw. And this poor little dog actually is trying to feed himself with his spoon and his paw. I mean, he's got this spoon taped around his paw, and he's trying to, like, eat his cereal. And, I mean, they feed him old cereal and stuff like that, and it's amazing. But the long of the short of this is people become so in love with their animals. They become little children, and there's nothing wrong with that. I admire people who go to the dog pound or pick up a cat, and they rescue a dog like that. We're going to do some shows down the line on Habitat for Humanity and things like that. And I just think it's so special that people who have the ability to save an animal go ahead and do that. I told you once what happened to me when I had one of my great dates with this gorgeous woman years ago. And I'm having dinner with her. And she began to tell me how much she hates dogs. She said, "They're smelly. I don't like them." And, you know, and I'm actually trying to have dinner with this woman. And you don't have to own an animal. If you can't take care of it, don't own one. But you don't have to hate it. She hated them. So what did old George do? I paid for the dinner, and I left. And that was it. And that was probably the smartest thing I ever did. Believe me. Anyways, we'll go to Tennessee now. Jerry's with us east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, thanks.
I was wondering, I have a question. I was wondering what you thought it was that I saw. I was at a red light, stopped at a red light, and the light turned green, so I was going slowly through the red light.
Okay.
And I had this odd feeling. It felt like it was coming from another car that was coming toward me in the other lane. And I looked toward the car, and it looked like a lady sitting, you know, driving the car. Well, when I looked at her face and looked into her eyes, she had these black, solid black eyes. There was no white in it whatsoever. Gee,
that's scary.
And they were kind of had this glossy look, like they were almost like wet or something. But it was just solid black, and I was just wondering, what do you think?
Well, how did she look back at you, Jerry? Did she look back at you, like, with this evil look, or what?
She looked straight ahead. And she did not look left or right. She was just looking straight ahead.
No emotion, no smile, nothing.
Nothing. She just had this blank look to her face. And I had the oddest feeling coming from that car. It was almost
not that it matters, but what kind of car was she driving?
It was a probably mid-80s car, Ford probably. I'm not sure of the model or anything.
I don't know if there's an eye condition where people have black eyes, where you can't see the iris of their eyes. You know, I've got dark brown eyes, puppy dog eyes, actually. But you can see them. You know, if you look at me, you can see the brown around my eyes. You can see my iris. Are there people out there who have black iris eyes? I don't know that. I'm going to check into that.
Okay. If not,
you had a demon on your hands. I'm glad you didn't stop her. Let's go to Minerva in Eureka, California. Hi, Minerva. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Sure thing.
I'm a little nervous here.
That's okay. Oh, you're a first-time caller, aren't you?
I am, sir.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I've listened to you on and off for years.
We have an audience here, by the way, of 900 people listening to you, plus the millions who are listening. So don't be nervous.
Okay. Well,
let me ask the crowd to say hello to you. Say hi to Minerva. That's in the
okay.
Screaming in the background. There you go.
Thank
go
you.
Ahead.
Well, I have a problem with bugs also, insects, and it's about as bizarre as the, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, as the lady who called you before.
Are they in the house?
They are in me, mostly.
The bugs are in you?
I have a, I told the lady who took the call, that I have a file specifically of the ones I pick out of my nose.
Ugh.
Yes, and...
What do they look like?
Like no-see-ums. You know, the tiny little, either they're sandflies or mosquito-type things.
How many do you pull out of yourself?
Well, I've pulled out about a dozen in the jar, and certainly more than that. That I spent an hour.
Have you been to a doctor for this, Minerva?
I have been to a doctor, yes.
What do they say? I'm curious.
This is before they got in my nose, and I saw the physician's assistant, and she's a wonderful lady. She ordered some tests, looked around all over me, but didn't understand that some insects do have very much smaller than you're going to see with a small magnifying glass.
Well, and this is what I think happened. And primarily, they're coming out of your nose, right?
No, or they are actually all over. All over the house and all over me.
But they could be in the house. But, I mean, if they're coming out of your nose...
They go in. I can feel them going in, too.
I'm suspecting that maybe they have... God, I don't want to gross you out.
Yeah.
Can I tell you this?
Sure.
I mean, you want to know?
Yeah.
I think these things have laid eggs in your nose.
Well, of course they have. And
they're hatching.
Yes.
And so they're flying out of your nose.
No, they're not flying out. I have to dig them out.
Oh, my God. You seriously need to go to a specialist. I don't know.
I know. I
what
know
doctor
that.
Would do this?
What I've waited because I have contacts with the local university in the biology department.
This has got to be driving you crazy.
No, it's one adapts.
I could go to bed knowing that I had bugs in my nose.
I do. Some
maybe you should go, maybe
well.
Maybe you should go to an exterminator before you go to a doctor.
Well, we have an exterminator in the building. I know very well. I'm also chemically sensitive. And I have not wanted to use any of the weird stuff that they spray.
Well, you can't spray that in you. That would make you sick.
That's about the size of it. And I have the house.
Well, so, I'm going to tell you something. If I can, this is a shameless plug for a dear client. But
sure.
Cedarside is natural. It will not hurt you. It's on our website, cedarside.com. They use that to kill all kinds of insects. It is a natural that's made with cedar, cedar oil. Use it.
I have some. In fact, I'm working with all kinds of natural stuff.
Okay, do this definitely. Cedarside.com. If you've tried everything and you can't get these bugs out of your nose, do this. I have never heard this in the history of my career in broadcasting, which has been well over 6,000 years. I have never heard of a person who had bugs in their nose. No. Not like that at all. Anyway, we're going to continue with Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. I shall be right back. Oh, my. You know, Coast to Coast for a syndicated show, live 7 nights a week. So this weekend, we've got Ian Punnett for you and George Knapp. I'm heading back to Los Angeles tomorrow morning. I get to go through the TSA screening again. I bet if they held a Geiger counter through me, I would be lit up like a light bulb, probably. I probably have so much radiation in my system. Anyways, we'll come back with more text questions from you and the rest of the phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Give you a little program note as we get into September. I will be live for you on Labor Day Monday. You know the deal. If it's a holiday and we are scheduled, we will work. And also, I'm working almost that entire Labor Day weekend. The first Sunday is September 1st. I believe, or third, or something like that. Whatever that is, it's the first Sunday. So we'll have a live program for you there, too. And then Labor Day Monday, we will be live for you as well, and then the rest of the week, too. So as a matter of fact, though, during that weekend, I think I'll be in St. Louis on that trip. Let's go to the phones. Jim in Georgia, welcome to the show. Hey, Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, good evening, George. Oh, morning.
Yeah.
This is my first time caller, but I have a very interesting story for you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, way back, it was like 1980, I got a call from my brother's wife, and they live some 20 miles out. It was about 11:30 at night, and she was in tears. I mean, profusely, like, disturbed.
Hysterical.
Yes, and she says that she believed that Satan was trying to kill me and that they wanted to come down and pray for me. So they drove all the way out in the middle of the night to come down, and they got in my living room, and they prayed for me and my wife, and, you know, and they went home.
And this was all news to you, right?
Yeah, all news to me, you know. So I didn't think much of it, and I laid down in my bed. And you know how you're laying down, you're waiting to go to sleep, and you're awake, and you're just laying there. I heard a voice. It wasn't within my head, but without, like outside of me, not inside.
Outside, like somebody might have been in the room, that kind of thing.
Yes. And it had a hideous laugh. It was like, and then it said, "I will make you lose the spirit of the Holy One of Israel." Now,
the old spirit's getting pretty formal there, wasn't it?
I got up. Yeah, I never heard anything outside of my head in my life.
This most demons thing. Just go, "I'm going to kill you." This one, the Holy Spirit of Israel.
Tried to kill me three times.
Pretty
already.
Biblical.
But anyway, I got up in the morning, and I was getting ready for work. I was cutting firewood. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and, you know, get ready to go. So I'm having my coffee, and I step out in the hallway, and I smell this smoke. Like, I mean, how would I describe it? Like a sulfur mixed with, like an electrical motor burning mixed with burning flesh all together in one.
And I like a rotten egg.
Yeah, like, what's burning here? So I go down to the basement. I'm on the second floor now. I go down to the basement. Nothing's burning. So I go up to the third floor, up to the attic there, and look around. Nope, nothing's burning out there. So I go outside now. And I says, well, I don't smell nothing out here. Nothing burning there. And I go back in the hallway, and I can still smell it. So I stand in my, I open my kitchen door, and I put 1 foot in the hallway and 1 foot in the kitchen. I put my head on one side of the door. I can smell it. I put head on the inside of my home, and I can't smell it. So I says, wow, that's kind of strange. And I went off to work. Now, when I got home later on, my sister comes upstairs. She lived down below me. And she says, come downstairs. You know, I want to show you something. So I go downstairs, and there's my mom. There's three elders from my church. One was the assistant pastor, Brother Nash was his name. And there's my brother-in-law sitting there, and they're in the middle of a full-blown exorcism. And let me tell you something. It's an exorcism. I mean, you never...
But what were they exorcising? The house?
Seven demons out of my brother-in-law.
Your brother-in-law had seven demons in him?
Seven demons. I mean, he was and all that.
Oh,
I mean,
my God. That one is enough to kill the guy. Seven?
Seven demons. Then afterward, in a conversation with my sister, what had transpired was she said that night she was laying in bed with her husband, and her husband was saying the ceiling was raining blood, but she didn't see it. But she said she heard it hitting her pillow.
Drip. Drip.
And in the morning, she said she was making her baby's bottle, you know, and that smoke came out of the hallway, filled up her entire kitchen. And then when she called to her husband, it went back under the door into the hallway. And that was right about the time when I smelt it. So
obviously they didn't get them all.
Well, this was before they got them.
This was before they got them. Well, don't jump around on me here, Jimmy.
Well, this is
go in chronological order. I'm a very simple person.
Well, this was information they gave me after the event. You know. After all.
Okay, so let's jump ahead. They get the seven demons out of them. Are they gone?
Yes, they did. They did go, and he went on to live the rest of his life until he died in a car accident.
Oh, my God. He died in a car accident?
Yes. He flipped the car over on Route 4 in Rhode Island.
Well, one would say that maybe they didn't get them all.
No. Well, he was kind of tormented. You know, he divorced my sister a couple of years later. And, you know, it wasn't He picked them up by playing with Ouija boards.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. So that's how he got this thing. And then they all came in. Yep. There's a lesson here. Don't play with Ouija boards, regardless of what you think they are. Don't do it. I've got a friend of mine. She considers herself an expert on the Ouija board. She wants to come on the program. She thinks they're great tools. Ugh. Tommy's with us. He's got one of this magical texts. How many do you get in there? Hundreds. I know you send me a lot of messages. So a lot of some of the questions we ask guests during the week are people who send you text questions. But
the phone doesn't stop. It keeps going and going.
From all over the place.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have one from Dave from Santa Monica.
Okay.
And he wants to know, he says, George, I've been noticing very high sea levels. Should we be worried?
One day, not yet. I believe in Edgar Cayce's map of North America, which means there's no California. It's fallen into the ocean. Huntington Beach is gone. And, you know, the West Coast becomes Arizona. St. Louis in that area is hugely opened up by the Mississippi. I do believe it. I think one day those things will absolutely happen. I don't think, Tom, probably in our lifetime we're going to have to worry about it, but I think one day it will happen.
I hope not. You know, as you know, I'm a native, and I've heard that since I was probably 18, that California's going to go in the ocean.
Yeah. Not yet.
I don't know.
Not yet. Time sometimes, as fast as it goes, and we talked about that today at this event, also goes by slow when
Amazing.
It comes to major events.
It is.
Okay, we've still got some time for more calls. Open lines here on Coast to Coast. Eric in Canada, he's been on hold for a long time. Eric, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you a question. I heard Alex Jones mention it maybe once or twice about the reason they went into Iraq. But I'm wondering, like, gas prices are so high, and now that the U.S. has Iraq's oil, and I think there might be some oil in Afghanistan as well, how come we're paying more for gas?
Well, they never did it to get the price low. They did it for control. They did it for the corporations.
That's what I heard, Led.
Yeah. They didn't do it for us. They didn't do it for us. And at the time, and they still very well may be, Iraq had the world's second largest oil reserves on the planet, you know, right under Saudi Arabia. There's much more. We have untapped oil that they have not gone after up there in the far west. They could tap those oil fields there if they wanted to, and we'd have enough oil.
Yeah.
I believe the planet is abiotic. It's got enough oil to last forever. Not that we should be using it as the sole fuel source by any means, but it's got an abundance. But that's what they did. I mean, they went into Iraq because Saddam Hussein stopped playing ball with us. He wanted to convert using petrodollars of our currency. He wanted to convert it back to euros, and that wasn't going to happen. And they got him out. I'm not saying Saddam Hussein was a Boy Scout. He should have been removed a long time ago. We never should have had him as our friend. His sons were butchers. They should have been taken out a long time ago. But that's why we're in Iraq. We didn't go into Iraq because of 9/11, because he didn't have anything to do with it. Nothing. You agree?
Yeah. And that's what I heard. Alex Jones said that he was overpumping, and they wanted to. That was keeping the prices too low, so that's why they went in there, right?
I don't know if he was overpumping. You know, he had specific controls. He was only allowed to sell a certain amount of oil for food and humanitarian purposes. But you know, this planet is geared toward profit, and who makes the money? And I told you that a long time ago. All you have to do when you see a world event, ask yourself who benefits, and then you're going to know why, regardless of where it is on the planet. Who benefits? Why aren't we in Somalia right now? Do you know why? Because there's nobody who can answer that question. Who benefits? Nobody benefits. You don't make money going to Somalia. There's nothing there for people. There's just human beings. Why save them? And to me, that's disgusting. That's a mortal sin. We should be in regions of this country and this planet to help people. We should be throwing out people who oppress their regimes. I think we're going into Syria. We're going to go into Syria one way or another. This guy's killing his citizens. We need to go in there, you know, whether you like the guy or not. And let me tell you, that will leave, once Syria topples, Libya will go. That will leave Iran and North Korea. Now, you watch those two areas, because they will be next after Syria. And they're going to put the squeeze on Iran. Syria's been an ally of Iran for years, and they're going to put a squeeze on them. And watch those two other countries fall. They're going to get North Korea. They're going to get Iran. Now, you may think, wow, they're doing this for us. No, they're doing it for them. They want to control the Iranian oil, and North Korea, God knows what they have, but they're going to get them too. I would predict that North Korea will probably be the last to go, because there's really nothing there that we need. Next up, let's go to Anthony in California, Riverbank. You're up with us. Anthony, take it away.
Hey, what's up, George?
Hey, good to have you.
Yeah, thanks, man. This is like, I'm a first-time caller, probably last-time caller. It's like the only cool story I have.
So, well, you'll find another one, but go ahead, share it with us.
All right. Well, it was like 2003. It was my first year in this new tiny town called Riverbank, California. It was in October, and I know this because every year in October, they have the Wine and Cheese Festival in Riverbank. And so I decided to invite two of my friends, Kevin and Jesus, to the festival, because when you're young, I like the place to be, like all girls and stuff, right?
So, hey, sometimes when you're old, you like the place to have girls and stuff like that.
Well, anyways, so...
We're not dead.
So anyways, we did our thing like during the day or whatever and hung out with our friends. At nighttime, we decided to go skateboarding, right? And Riverbank, it's a like a real rural town. There's a lot of orchards and it's real small and everything.
Sounds quaint.
Yeah, it's very, very quaint. We decided to go to a local high school because at the time they were renovating it and there was like new cement everywhere and perfect for skating, right? So we're skating around and Kevin... He comes up to me and he's like, hey, man, like he says just like this. He's like, dude, I saw a naked guy on the roof, right? And for some reason, like, we never took anything Kevin said seriously, like, ever.
Right.
We're like, okay, whatever.
And why in the heck would he concoct a story like that? A naked guy on the roof of a school.
Yeah, so we just, like, let it go, right?
And this is, must have been my old principal.
Yeah. So anyways, we're skating around for, like, another hour. And we get tired, and we go to the front of the school, and we're sitting in front of the library, and I'm sitting on the bench. Jesus is lying on the grass, and Kevin's just staring at the library roof. And I ask him, like, dude, what are you staring at? And he's like, somebody keeps poking their head up over the roof. Like, keep seeing them poke their head up. So at this point, I'm like, dude, let's get out of here. You know, like, there's probably some older kids. I don't want to get jumped. You know, I'm new to this town. I don't really know anybody. So... we start taking off. We grab our skateboards and we have them in our hands and we're walking out towards the front of the school. And Kevin's just looking back and he points towards the roof and he goes, dude, there it is. And I look back and like, this is weird for me to say, but like, I saw like your stereotypical like alien body. Like, it was like a little short.
The big alien head, the long arms, the big eyes.
Yeah, but exactly. It was like all contorted and like, I froze, and I just, like, looked at him, and I just, like, screamed, and, like, some cuss words came out or whatever, and, like, I was just like, run, and we ran, and I was so scared, I dropped my new skateboard, right, and we just took off, and, like, on the way home, I couldn't look at any roofs or anything like that, and, you know, today I think maybe I wanted to see that, so that's what I saw, you know, like, in my head, but the only thing that makes me, like, not think that, is that we all saw the same thing.
You all saw the same thing. What the heck would an alien be doing on the top of a roof?
Of a school,
And peeking at you.
Yeah.
It didn't stand up and wave or anything like that?
No, it just kind of stood and, like, ran away. It was really weird. But if you go on YouTube, you look at UFO in Riverbank, at the high school, it's actually filmed at the high school. Someone caught a UFO on tape there. Like, this is, like, last year. But my story was like 8 years ago. But anyways, I just want to share my story with you.
I love that story. All right, Anthony, you get another one like that, call us back. Let's go to Andy in Mexico on our Skype line. Hi, Andy.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm getting a weird echo effect here. You know, I want to talk about disclosure. And
okay. We got a couple minutes for you. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's just basically this. Governments don't really ever disclose anything. But, I mean, I think it's safe to assume that they already know. Not everyone in the government, but, you know, that there are definitely groups in the government, I think, that are well aware of this phenomenon.
Not only do they know, they don't want us to know.
Well, that's it. I mean, the general public is really the one that needs to be disclosed to.
I argue with people about disclosure time and time again, Andy. I've told them governments are not going to come out willingly to tell us it's going to happen by a mistake. It's going to happen by a whistleblower, but it's not going to be an organized thing. I got a text yesterday from a friend of mine in St. Louis. He said, please take me to the White House with you when President Obama announces disclosure. And I said, fat chance of that happening. Don't wait. Don't hold your breath. Governments won't do that. And the reason why they won't do it is because they do not want us to know. They think that we will lose, that they'll lose control of us if we know. Let me tell you something. If you actually truly believe that we were being visited by extraterrestrials and you had categorical proof that it was happening, do you think you would listen to some of the bull that government throws out all the time? Absolutely not. You'd look toward the heavens. You'd say there's got to be a better way. And you would start doing your own thing. And you would forget all about government control and everything else. And even some religions would have problems if you believed that there was extraterrestrial life out there. So the bottom line is government, my prediction, will never ever disclose the true facts of UFOs. So you're listening, of course, to Coast AM, and we will continue with more Coast to Coast with one of our classics. Stand by.